You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Go back to the Ohio Business Machines hotline here and bring in our guy Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter from the Bleacher Report. Matt, welcome to CBD.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
It's good to have you back on. We talked to you right before the draft. Now we'll talk to you now that round one is in the books. How would you evaluate what Ray Farmer and the Browns did with Danny Shelton and Cam Irving at picks 12 and 19?
Well, I'd say I love that Danny Shelton pick, and it was one that I think most people probably saw coming. So I really like what the Browns did there, getting a foundation for the defensive line, for the whole defense. And then when pick 19 came around, I was really confused for a few picks. I'm not watching the draft on ESPN or NFL Network. I'm in a studio, and we evaluate every pick right after it happens and do a video about it. And I really didn't understand that pick unless they were going to play him at right guard. Then we got a couple of videos deep, and my colleague Chris Sims looks at me and he goes, "You know what? I forgot that Alex Mack can opt out of his contract after this year."
Yep.
And it was like this, oh no, moment. You know what? It was like, oh, we're kind of negative about that pick, and then you get the realization that, you know, it's a pick for a few years down the road. So I really like that. I'm a huge fan of drafting not for current need always, but also for future need and assuring yourself against. But you have the best center in football who might leave after this year, so you have to have something in the works behind him. Cam Irving can be a starting center in the NFL right away. So I think it was a smarter pick once I was able to step away from the, you know, fast-paced nature of how the draft works and evaluate it. So I like what the Browns did. They got good value, and I'm all about building your football team from the inside out.
And that's certainly what they did. And they do believe Cam Irving could come in and play right guard, I believe, right away. And then he has that insurance policy, as you talked about there, for Alex Mack. As you look at the Browns now, 43-77 today, everybody here certainly wants playmaker, playmaker, playmaker. Do you see them going playmaker at 43, edge rusher? What would be your kind of ideal scenario if you're Ray Farmer at pick 43?
Well, I think you have a ton of options because the way the board has worked out. You know, playmaker would be good. Max Williams, the tight end from Minnesota, still on the board. I don't think they can take Dorial Green-Beckham from Missouri because of the Josh Gordon situation.
Yeah.
Would love them to. He's a playmaker, but I don't think they can touch him. So when you look at the receivers who are still on the board, Jalen Strong from Arizona State is definitely worthy of that pick. There's a ton of running backs still on the board if they wanted to go with a guy like Tevin Coleman. But you can get playmakers here, Devin Funchess, Devin Smith. They're definitely guys who could be home run hitters for that offense. And, you know, I look at the tight end position with Jordan Cameron gone. That seems to make the most logical sense. So at 43, if Max Williams is there, or maybe Clive Walford from Miami, I think both players would make sense.
Jalen Strong is a guy that's come up a few times already on the show from both fans, Twitter, and some of the analysts we've had here in the building, simply to meet that need at wide receiver. Is he a guy that is predominantly going to play on the outside? Is he a guy that could compete with Hartline and Bowe here in Cleveland now for a starting role in this offense?
Yeah, I think so. I think the reason he's falling a little bit is because of the wrist injury that people are kind of afraid of. I think he could compete, though. I mean, he's kind of a similar body to Dwayne Bowe, but faster. And I think Jalen Strong has some of the strongest hands in this year's class. I mean, there were some drops, but his ability to make the tough catch was pretty remarkable. So I think he could compete right away. I know the Browns have – I think their depth is kind of deceptive at wide receiver because, they do have some guys on the second tier, you know, Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel, who can be players. So Jalen Strong would have to be, I think, like you said, a competition with a guy like Dwayne Bowe. But he could definitely do that, and maybe he's a number two for a year. But Dwayne Bowe will be 31 this year. I think, has slowed down the past few years in Kansas City. So Strong definitely fills a need for them.
When you look at the edge rushers, you know, Randy Gregory is still on the board. Obviously, he has the off-field concerns. I don't know if the Browns would touch him. Eli Harold is out there. Nate Orchard, Owa. Of those guys, who do you like the best for the Browns if they were to jump at 43? And does Nate Orchard have a chance of being there at 77 in your mind?
Well, like you said, Randy Gregory, the value is there. I just don't think the Browns can touch him. So Eli Harold is certainly a value. Owa Adigizua, Preston Smith. Those are guys who I think at 43, if they're on the board, they all make a ton of sense. Nate Orchard, getting into round three, that's going to be, you're probably sweating a little bit, you know, waiting for that pick to come around, maybe have to trade up a little bit to secure him, because I think there's a big stretch there of teams that need pass rushers, need edge rushers. So I'm not, I wouldn't be real confident that he would make it back around. So if they target Nate Orchard, you could maybe trade down, let a team like Buffalo or Houston come up to get a quarterback if there's still one on the board, and still get your guy and maybe an extra pick a little bit later. But the round two edge rusher class is pretty deep. I'm surprised that there are still so many top tier guys on the board. I thought Gregory was the first rounder. I thought Eli Harold might sneak into the first round too. So there's still some quality players out there.
Matt, I'm going to jump back to your analyzation of Danny Shelton. When you were scouting him and of course, you know, ranking him on your draft board, did you see him as a two-down guy or evaluate him as a three-down guy that could be very impactful even on third down for a National Football League team?
I thought he was a three-down player, and I know there's a lot of disagreement out there about that. The kid had 9 sacks and all kinds of tackles for a loss last year. So I think I think we get too caught up sometimes in how fast guys are on their 40 or their 3 cone and just on the film, he was a wrecking crew against the pass. So I do think he can be a three-down player. I don't think he's just a nose tackle. I think he can be a nose tackle, a shade tackle. I think he could even play a little bit of three technique. And he prides himself on being a Haloti Ngata-type player, you know, someone who can move all around the defensive line and make plays. And I see him as that kind of guy, too, someone who you're going to be able to line him up over the center, outside the center, head up on the guard, and he's going to just make plays for you.
Quarterbacks, that second wave, I imagine some will come off the board today. How do you see those guys fitting into rounds 2 and 3?
I'm sorry, you cut out there for just a second.
The quarterback, that next group, Patty, Hundley, Grace, and Mannion, do you think today is their day, and how early do they get going, and where do you see them ending up?
Yeah, I think today is probably their day. This isn't where I would draft them. I would wait till late tonight to start drafting them, but I think Bryce Petty could go off the board pretty early here today. Age is at 37, Cleveland at 43. I mean, I think that's something that has to be talked about. The Saints want to get a young quarterback to groom. We've got the Bills at 50. So I think Petty goes probably round 2. Tom Mannion and Garrett Grayson, I think this is their day 2. You know, they're going to be maybe late day 2 guys, early day 3. But, you know, the way the quarterback class is this year, I think any of those picks would be a reach. And Brett Hundley as well. But our guys who are just so many teams that need a quarterback that it kind of makes sense that it's going to happen.
Devin Funchess is a name that seemingly has zero buzz right now. Is there something going on with him, or teams just not sure if he can actually play either wide receiver or tight end?
Yeah, I think it's just the confusion about where is he going to play. You know, is he a tight end, is he a receiver? Over the last month or so, I would say that the reality became that he was probably a mid-round two player. So it's okay that he's on the board. It's not considered a fall as of yet. You know, if he makes it through round 2, then you start to wonder if there was an injury or something that we didn't know about. But I had him ranked at 49 overall.
Okay.
So there's still, I think it's still reasonable that he's on the board right now.
How quickly do you expect Green Beckham and Gregory to go today?
Green Beckham is the hard one, man. He could be the first player off the board today, and I wouldn't be surprised. And it's really the same for Randy Gregory, because you look at the Tennessee Titans, you know, their needs, I mean, they could add a big receiver. They could add an edge rusher, but it's just pulling that trigger. So I don't think DGB will be on the board too long. Let's say maybe pick like 41 would be, I would be surprised if he's on the board after that. Randy Gregory, I would be surprised if Randy Gregory got past the San Francisco 49ers at 46. So, you know, midway through the second round, I would expect them to both be off the board, but you know, I'll get handed to teams. They've been more aware of some of these off-field issues this year than in years past. I think before, Randy Gregory would have still been a first-round pick, and Darrell Green Beckham still would have been a first-round pick. So it's kind of interesting from where I am at to sit back and watch teams, you know, value the safer player over the big talent.
So, Matt, at this point, to wrap up the first round for the Cleveland Browns, understanding the immediate need that we get in a guy like Danny Shelton, and also, too, the potential of Cam Irving, and not only to make an immediate impact, compete anywhere across the line, minus maybe left tackle and left guard with Joel Bitonio there, but the future being uncertain at center, what would you give Ray Farmer's draft in first round this year?
Well, it's so tough to grade a pick, you know, right after it happens, but I would say that this is a solid B-plus draft. I really like Danny Shelton, and I'm glad they didn't overthink that one or try to wait on him, because I think a lot of teams would have tried to jump up there. And Cam Irving, if he'd be becomes that starter at right guard, and if he has to replace Alex Mack, he becomes a much better pick, a better value. So I think they did a good job. I would have liked personally to see maybe receiver and edge rusher as a priority at pick 19, but I definitely understand the thinking behind that pick now.
Were you surprised that Bud Dupree made it all the way down to 22? And yeah. He was a guy that we had talked about for the Browns, and now, of course, he goes to the Steelers, and then Breshad Perriman all the way down to 26 for the Baltimore Ravens.
Dupree surprised me. Perriman didn't. I really am not sold on him as a player. I think I had him at like 71. No, I'm sorry. I had him at like 49 overall. So I don't know. I'm not sold on him yet as just a natural catcher and a route runner. I know he's fast and big, but there's a lot of holes to his game. Alvin Dupree is interesting because he was always like, I think I had him at like 19 overall on my board. But he, like, there was so much talk about him floating up and getting into, you know, maybe he'll go to Atlanta at 8. Maybe this gets him a top 10 pick. So I think his stock settled back to where it was kind of supposed to be all along. So he was really interesting to watch because I think in my final mock draft, even I had him in the top 10 because that was everything I was hearing. But then he actually got drafted right around where his value was.
Matt, great stuff. I know you got to get to another interview. We appreciate you taking time. You've always brought great draft content to us here, and you can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout for more. Check him out and his great work at Bleacher Report. Appreciate the time, and enjoy rounds 2 and 3 and the rest of this draft.
All right, good luck, guys. Thanks.
All right, thank you. That was Matt Miller, NFL Draft Scout for Bleacher Report. When we come back, final half hour is going to be all about you guys. 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.